Hey there, welcome to Broadcast to Post. I'm Jeff Sengpiel, CTO at Keycode Media. This is the show where we interview leaders and experts in the AV, broadcast, and post-production spaces. We're giving you the inside tips to grow your media workflows and business today.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Megan Hutton. I'm the general manager of Pierce County Television, located in Tacoma, Washington. And joining us, we have a great panel for you today. John Funfar with City of Pasco over in the Tri-Cities, and John DeLay with City of Spokane, and Ben Ramsey with Pierce County TVs on my team.
My boss.
Woohoo! And Ben Skidlarik, he is with City of Bellingham. And most of the folks up here do a mix, you know, we're fairly small shops, and so it's a mix of folks who are in kind of director, coordinator positions, some engineering as well, kind of wear every hat that you got, every hat. So thank you again for joining us. Some of the things we're going to cover in this session, we're going to talk a little bit about hybrid meetings and a lot of the changes that we're making. A lot of our hybrid meetings, it was a thing that started in the pandemic, and it's going to become a long-term trend for us, so we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about building fly packs, hinted a little bit of closed captioning. We're going to talk about some NDI and Dante stuff as well, so hopefully we hit on some things that are of interest to you. And just generally to kind of give you a sense of where we're headed, you know, a lot of counties and cities had to react quite quickly to changes coming out of the governor's office related to Open Public Meeting Act. And so we're seeing, you know, we're kind of waiting to see what is coming out of the governor's office going forward in terms of what OPMA is going to look like and if hybrid is going to be a requirement. And, it, you know, it's probably smart for us to just plan that way because that's where things are going. We're seeing a lot of councils like that hybrid setup. You know, it was interesting when the pandemic hit because a lot of governments still had a lot of paper pushing processes in place, especially courts too. It was quite dramatic to watch our local governments try to figure it out and make that drastic shift, like turning a ferry. Took a little bit. I know we were one of those groups that were in a rush to buy equipment when stuff was coming out and starting to deal with delays and still are. And we found it where a lot of our council chambers, you know, their AV systems, they really didn't have the infrastructure in place to do hybrid, and we're having to make some massive changes and upgrades in chambers, generally speaking, if they haven't happened already. So to kick us off, we're gonna have Ben Ramsey come up and talk a little bit about hybrid meetings and kind of just where we started and what we're doing now.
All right, I guess I'm starting out. I thought John was first, but I guess it's me. So I threw some slides together this morning just to kind of illustrate what I'm talking about. So I'm going to be talking about how we transitioned our productions for, during COVID. So these are a few of our different setups that we have in different locations up here. This in the top left is our mobile production truck. In the top middle, that is our fly pack shoot that we have. The top right is one of our smaller council chambers in the city of Orting. The lower left is our studio control room, and then the lower right is the City of University Place. Linda, are you here? She's in the back. She is our contact over at the City University Place, a great partner with us. So we at Pierce County TV, we get to support Pierce County itself and also six other cities, the City of DuPont, Orting, Fife, Puyallup, Sumner, DuPont and Orning, yeah. So there's quite a few different council chambers that we get to support, and all of them had to kind of transition to hybrid at the same time. First, this is what my office looked like at home. Kind of a mess, and it wasn't used very often. We had upgraded all of our council chambers to broadcast PIX systems in 2019 and 2018. So we had spare TriCaster sitting around. So I installed one in my office so that I was able to do hybrid meetings from my house. which was pretty nice. I was able to take output out of a Mac Mini and then take the Zoom and add our graphics and stream it back out. So I was actually able to do some of our council meetings from my house, which was pretty nice at that time. But it took some thinking to try and figure out how we would get access to those and how to put them back into our workflows. And it took some creativity, but we were able to figure it out over time. This was an amazing tool that I figured out came in super handy of being able to take the output out of laptops or Mac Minis and bring them into our production systems. And it's great for out in the field too. If you get a laptop and you need to integrate SDI, it's super handy. I just used one the other day and I love these things, the Decimator MDHX converter. So some of the cities took advantage of the downtime when they didn't need to access their council chambers. So the city of Sumner decided that they wanted to completely overhaul their council chambers, flip it 180 degrees and update it with new technology. So this is what one of their meetings looked like before. You can see those nice chrome poles that are there. It was a former fire station and those are supporting poles that they're not able to remove. So unfortunately they're still there, but so that's what it looked like during. They completely gutted the inside of their council chambers and flipped it 180 degrees so that the dais is actually in the back of the room. And that's what it looks like now. So definitely an upgrade from that with the paintings and pink paint to a lot more modern look. They did wrap the poles in vinyl so that they're not quite as shiny, but they are still there and we have to work around them. And during the process, they also upgraded their AV system so that they're able to integrate a Zoom hybrid meeting into it, which, so I forgot to say earlier, right when we found out that we're gonna have to go to hybrid, we alerted all of our councils that it wasn't gonna be something we were gonna be able to do immediately when they got back into chambers, that they really needed to work with AV integrators to be able to integrate the hybrid into their systems. And thankfully, while they had this downtime, they were able to completely redo their AV system so that we were able to access their Zoom. And then this is the city of Orting. They were actually building a council chambers right when COVID hit. So previously they had been having their council meetings in a multi-purpose room at a library. And we were either rolling our mobile truck out there or doing our fly pack and having to set up for every meeting. But they actually built their permanent council chambers. And when they did that, they integrated AVN. And that's what they look like now. So a little bit of an upgrade. And you can see there's one of their remote council members is up there on the screen. Previously, when they originally started doing hybrid, they were doing BlueJeans software, I think because they already had it for their court system, but they decided to move to Zoom. So we integrate our broadcast picks system with their Zoom so that we can see the remote participants in our meeting coverage. Do you guys, are we going to do Q&A now or later? Or? Yeah, so another big project that we've been working on for quite a while and pulled the trigger on last year was closed captioning of our PEG channel. So we decided to go with the Enco and Caption solution, which is a 24/7 automated captioning that you're able to put SDI input into it, and it has an AI captioning that's able to go 24/7. I know that John also uses InCaption, and we really thought it was a great time to be able to do it. I know in the past some councils or some PEG channels were only able to do their council meetings because of the cost involved was so high using human captioners, but now with the ability to use AI, it's really made it a lot more practical for PEG channels to have captioning and for us to have it 24/7. So our main engine that we use for the captioning is the InCaption product, but then I'm gonna go through some other tools that we use also. So one that I found is called Telestream Mac Caption, and you're able to take some of the logs from the ANCO and be able to make SCC files that we're able to put in our playback system, the tightrope cable cast. So some of its nice tools are that you're able, we have rolling captions on our live, and you're able to convert that to pop-up captions, and you can change how many lines are shown at any given time. So it's a really powerful software that we got to be able to edit our caption files. Also, a free one that I found that it's very powerful and really useful on the PC is called Subtitle Edit. And you're able to bring caption files in and change them, change the format, rearrange where they are, change the timing, which is important sometimes. The timing gets off and you need to change it. Another awesome feature of this is you can actually download the script or the text off of a YouTube video. Some of our videos that we play on our channel come off of YouTube, and you're actually able to ingest the text from YouTube and turn it into a caption file. So this is a software that was a great find, and we've been, it's very helpful for us, Subtitle Edit. And then also we use Inventus Media for our video on demand for our council meetings, for live, and for on the web. And they have automated captioning now, so any meetings that aren't going through our InCaption, they go live to Inventus, and then they're able to add caption files to our meetings there. And then we can also download the sidecar files and convert them to use in our playback system. So that's been a great partner. We've been using Inventus for a long time, and it's nice that they've added a caption functionality now. And then if you're using Adobe Premiere, they have integrated automated captions in it now. So you can export your audio out, and it'll create a transcript of the audio from your video. And then you can export out either embedded or a sidecar file that you can put on your playback system. So if you're creating your own videos and want captions, that's a very inexpensive way to do it if you're already using Premiere. And we have our editors, if they're making their own programs, export out the captions so that the InCaption doesn't have to do it. And that's pretty much it. Quick and dirty on some of our hybrid workflows and our captioning.
Great, thank you, Ben. We'll take Q&A with everybody at the end, so just kind of remember some questions if you got them. Thank you. All right, now Ben Skudlarik is next. Ben is with City of Bellingham, and today Ben is going to talk about a couple interesting things. He's done a NDI and Dante build and also put together a fly pack for his city, so he's going to cover some of that stuff.
And just like a government meeting, we have to wait for me to fiddle with a computer and PowerPoint. I'm also like profoundly nervous, which is why I was drinking a glass of wine while sitting on the panel. Just like a government meeting, yeah. Okay. So today I'm going to talk about how we are utilizing NDI and Dante to, oh my goodness, how do you start a PowerPoint? This is like a government meeting.
Slideshow,
play from start. There we go. Okay. How we're using NDI and Dante in our hypothetical hybrid meetings. The city of Bellingham is still all remote. We have done one hybrid meeting, so take all of this with a huge grain of salt. So, like most of you, these are some of the hybrid meeting requirements. Basically, everyone needs to be able to see everything all the time, and no one wants any friction in that. Remote participants need to be able to see the room. They need to be able to see presentations that are happening in the room. People in the room want to see the remote participants, and they want to see what they're presenting. In addition, we've got a council chambers that, you know, there's an audience and there's a dais, and those two things face two separate ways. And so, you know, we've essentially got two separate audiences inside of one room. So some immediate challenges, and you'll see a picture of our council chambers here in a bit. But we are in a very old building with very limited space. Basically, it's 30-foot ceilings, and it's about 30 feet across. We are surrounded by what is considered historic hardwood that we cannot touch or manipulate, so mounting things is not an option. The floor is concrete. There are portholes about an inch wide that are full of cable. So unfortunately, pulling, you know, 12 by 12 coax through that isn't going to happen, which is why we ended up going with Dante, with NDI and Dante, because we can run a single cable and have essentially all of our sources and destinations on a single cable. So this is our room, and this was our solution for what we consider dipping our toes into the hybrid meeting space for council chambers. You can see on the floor, we've got a 65-inch monitor, just a Samsung television. Those three projectors on the walls were the current installation of video in the room for people to see presentations. And so we hijacked one of the sources on the matrix on the matrix switcher as an input for hybrid presentation. In addition, each dais position has its own small 10-inch monitor, which we'll see in a bit. And then this is all connected via three Cat 6 runs. I think we only had to run three pieces of cabling to get this all connected. Oh, you can actually see the dais monitors over there on the side. I apologize. There we go. Okay. NDI and Dante, I'm not going to read this whole thing. Network-based protocols for sending audio and video. NDI, we primarily use for video, though it carries audio. And Dante is a robust audio over network solution, or audio over IP, I should say. So here are some of the pieces that we had to install for the host machine. So there's a host computer sitting behind that television. It's just an Intel Nuke, smaller than a Mac Mini. Initially, we installed a Mac Mini, the new M1s, and had some issues. Wasn't domain joined, so we just ended up putting a Nuke in there so that anybody could step into the room, sign into their Windows account for the city, and be able to have a hybrid meeting. From that computer, the Nuke, we're going to an HDMI direct to that television, and then we're converting another HDMI signal out of that Nuke to NDI. So now that computer signal is going anywhere on that network that we want it to go. We're also using a Dante Avia, which is just a USB 2x2, two in, two out audio converter. We are using a Cam Link, which I don't know if anybody's familiar, but is a HDMI to USB webcam converter. You could just use NDI virtual input on your computer, but it takes quite a bit of processing power on the local computer, and I prefer to ship that off to hardware if I can. And then a network switch. So there's a network switch behind that monitor. There's a network switch at this. This is the local presentation lectern for the council chambers. So there's another network switch in there. And then there is a piece of Cat 5 or Cat 5e going all the way back to the audio closet, as we call it, where the DSP is. In terms of integrating that into the meeting, you know, it's really just a matter of selecting that AVIO and that Cam Link, which again is just an NDI signal converted to a USB webcam on that local computer. And you can sort of see on that right-hand image that what we are sending back into the meeting then is the full broadcast. Remote participants can see all the same video that somebody watching the cable channel or the YouTube stream can watch. They can see all the presentations. In fact, they could see whatever we wanted them to see because it's NDI, and now that it's on the network, we can send anything we want to it. So two boxes or, you know, presentation and the speaker, anything can go into that as the virtual webcam. I touched on this briefly already, but the we we ended up hijacking one of the unused ports in our Crestron matrix and just plugged the, there's a network switch down there, network switch from NDI to HDMI and then direct into the matrix. And so now laptop one is our hybrid solution. Dias monitors, there's seven of these, inexpensive 10-inch IPS monitors. The center position, which you're seeing on top there, underneath the desk, there's the NDI to HDMI converter connected via Cat6, and then an HDMI distribution amp going out, fanning out to each of those positions. So each of the Dias monitors is seeing the same thing. Though with NDI, we could easily just put a $300 converter under each position and they could all choose what they want to see. Additionally, what you're seeing there on the top, there's a small X-Keys macro panel sitting underneath that monitor, and that allows the council president to have their own little matrix switcher there and select different sources. And one thing you'll find once you start putting things on the NDI network is that you'll start sending fun things all over the place. And so for council chambers, when no one knows when to actually start, we're able to send a show clock and say, hey, you're going to start in, 12 hours, apparently. For anybody who wants to talk about it offline, we can go through the diagram. This is what I wired up. Felt pretty good. I was able to draw this, afterwards when we had to clean everything up, I was able to remember all but two pieces on this diagram. In terms of Dante is very similar. What you're seeing there on the left-hand side is the biamp Tessera software and the actual audio routing. But what's important is that we are able to, so for AV installations, I'm sure a lot of you are taking just a stereo mix out of the room. And sometimes somebody's super loud and somebody's super quiet, and sometimes there's public comment and somebody's screaming, and you've got one level. What Dante allows you to do is, all we had to do was install a Dante card in our DSP and say, take each one of these mic outputs, and in addition to that stereo mix down, send us individual sources. And so we're able to get all 28 mic sources in the room as 28 individual channels back in our studio. And my last slide here is just a reiteration of what I've already said. Once you start putting things on NDI and Dante, you'll start putting everything on NDI and Dante because you can send it anywhere, you can receive anywhere. It's super flexible. You'll find solutions to problems that you were going to solve in other ways doing this. Also, it's easy to add things onto the network, and it's relatively inexpensive. We easily could have, we could have done this with coax and SDI, but, that would have meant putting a router at each location or a router panel at each location. We don't have to do that anymore. So that's it for right now.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And feel free if you just want to, we don't have to rehook it up. We're good. All right, next is John DeLay with City of Spokane. And John, you can just hang out there if you want.
Sure. I've got nothing fancy like that.
Perfect, that's great. So John's going to talk to us a little bit about the state of government television and where things are headed and the trends that we've seen change over the last couple years.
So Ben, I think you're probably going to send that diagram out to just about everybody in this room that's trying to follow suit here. when we first decided to cover this topic, state of government TV, it's pretty interesting. I kind of sat back for a little while and said, wow, the state of government TV sure has changed, landscape's changed. I consider the pandemic similar to what YouTube did to broadcast television in 2005. Pretty much, anything goes, okay? You could use a cell phone video, you could use just crappy video, and it was okay, broadcasters took it. So when we all started looking at hybrid meetings, government TV came into a real interesting role because in Spokane, immediately the TV stations started getting laying people off. They were sending people out to just very rare occasions to cover media. Well, at the same time, we had about 2 weeks to incorporate hybrid technology. And what that meant for us was our building shut down. nobody was conducting their open meetings. Okay, well, the governor said, you've got to conduct these meetings. Well, how are we going to do this? We were in a pretty good situation in Spokane in that we did a lot of our, we did a lot of talk shows out of our council chambers, excuse me, which had an integrated phone line into the system. So we were able to take the computer feed from our council chambers and bring in our Zoom meetings or Teams meetings or WebEx meetings, whatever flavor it was, and just call into the phone line. And we were doing these hybrid meetings in a very rudimentary form within, I guess, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks. There were some challenges, but we ended up doing more. And then all of a sudden we started moving a lot of our meetings that weren't televised or cablecast into our council chambers so we could interact between the moderator or the chair of the board and our Zoom meetings. So we increased our meetings over 50%. And the problem, the challenge with this now is we're in a very good spot because people were relying on us, but now these meetings, they still want to have them televised, they still want to go out. So that's a good thing, in that the citizens of Spokane were actually looking to us for constant information, but now we're having to come back and do a lot more meetings, do our same production that we were doing before, getting the stories out, providing the weekly updates. But now we've got more meetings, and we still have to do that with three people. So it's been challenging, but I think as far as the state of video goes and state of government, we're in a really good spot because citizens are expecting the same coverage that they had during COVID. We went into COVID and we were never busier. We were considered those essential people that allowed everybody else to work from home. But we were coming in every day and working until we were captioning things until midnight. And so now the challenge is how do we provide those daily updates and how do we provide that information out to the public that they became used to during COVID and still keep our sanity? So, you know, everybody's kind of in the same boat. And when I would reach out to the other people in Watteau and I said, we've never been busier. And it was the same thing. Everybody said, yes, you know, government TV is being watched. And I reached out to our mothership, NATOA, which is our national organization, and said, hey, do you have any stats on what people were expecting and what people were doing during the pandemic? And the numbers are crazy. It was a study that was conducted by the American College of Communications out of DC. Did a nationwide study, and the results were astounding. Really, it's what we in the PEG world knew. We were being watched. We were being relied on. We became tech wonders. Okay, people were coming to us to say, "How do we do this?" Well, we don't know. I call these guys and say, "How are you doing this?" And so there's a big demand on us as PEG channels to get the word out. The study said 86% of respondents were doing things differently, and they're doing more. And so what that really has done is it's challenged us to reach outside, you know, look outside the box and say, how do we do this? Well, one of the things that we were able to do is caption during this time. And so there was a lot of dollars that actually came to our disposal, the CARE funds and now the ARP dollars. We tapped into the CARE funds for our purchase of the ENCO captioner, and we were never able to even consider doing this until we decided that actually fell in our city, so that falls into the CARE dollars because we're captioning for a new audience. Okay, so we purchased, installed, went out to bid on an ENCO system and did this all in less than 30 days. This was training because there was such a demand for captioning, and we could reach out to get a new audience. Now, similar to that, we're looking at a whole entire upgrade for our AV services within the city of Spokane that will actually allow us to bring in some of these meetings from any kind of room and take that hybrid technology and televise those, or you know, put those out, stream those, whatever we choose to do, whatever avenue direction we choose to do. We're now under a contract that will analyze all of our rooms, determine what we're going to do for those rooms, and those upgrades are going to be funded by ARP funds. There's a special section in that act that allows you to use those funds, and don't ask me how. This is for the higher ups, but they said, believe me, we can use them. So a lot of the opportunities that COVID has brought us, I think, is a really good thing. It's just we have to get our administrators on board with how do we fund those dollars, or how do we fund those technology upgrades. And I know our council's on board with this, our mayor's office is on board with this, and they're the ones that sit on the panel that approves the funds. So that's a good thing. So I think in the next year, we've got to figure out how to upgrade quickly and how to keep that flow of people that have relied on us. How do we keep them engaged using the same staff? That's going to be our biggest challenge. And excuse me, right before I left, I asked our social media coordinator, you know, before COVID, where were we at with followers? During COVID, we peaked. We went way up, and we peaked with all this. And Terry, I'm going to be happy to tell you that everything that we produced for social media went out on our cable channel. So we were reaching all audiences. It's a wonderful thing that we can do that. But right before I left, I said, where are we at? Where are we at with those numbers now? She said that we're not at peak COVID, but we're well above where we were pre-COVID. So that's, we've got to figure out how to keep those people watching, and that's going to be the challenge. So we as PEG operators have to embrace the change. We also have to dig out the notebooks and start figuring out how to do this, because we've got to keep those people entertained. You're going to lose your viewers if you're not doing what you did during COVID. So are we in a good spot? Yes. Are we in a challenging spot? I think we're even more challenged now than during COVID, just to keep things going. So.
Great, thank you. And next, we're gonna have just a quick report from John Funfar with City of Pasco, talking about just the state of legislative policies that are happening at the FCC level and state government, which is really helpful. A lot of stuff can come down quickly and it affects all of us. So just an update for you on that.
Well, howdy everybody. I'm John Funfar with the City of Pasco, and I'm also on the policy subcommittee of WATOA. WATOA stands for, I'm sure you're all dying to know, the Washington Association of Telecommunication Officers and Advisors. So yes, bunch of government bureaucrats 20 years ago said, let's form a state chapter, and came up with that exciting name. So, but comes after our national. So also wanted to mention Megan here also went to a superior university. So go Lutes, Pacific Lutheran University in Tacoma. So just had to do that shout out. Just real quickly, want to touch on some of the state happenings that happened over the last 12 months or so. Three things I'll touch on is the digital equity bill that passed and was signed by the governor. This will result in a lot of monies coming to local organizations and local governments in trying to close that digital divide gap. According to the state, approximately 45% of folks either have no internet access or have slow internet access, and they define slow as anything under 10 megabits a second. So the state is going to try to close that gap, so between the Department of Commerce and the Broadband Office, we'll come up with a plan, talking with, like I said, a lot of those community organizations, including local governments, and try to figure out how to move forward on that. Excuse me. The second thing was there was a micro-trenching bill that did not pass in the legislature, and this would have basically preempted local governments. So providers could come in, put in a micro-trench in the streets. Obviously, local government had a lot of issues with that, just given the, local governments don't like to be preempted. So, like I said, that did not pass, but I think industry is heard local government concerns, and there will be an informal work group getting together and trying to come up with a solution that works for everybody. So I think that's going to come back in some form in the next session, but I think it'll be much more of a collaborative effort. So, and then finally, just real quick, as John mentioned, a lot of those federal dollars from the various federal relief acts are coming down through local governments, and the AWC, the Associated Washington Cities, is looking for our help in Wautoua and maybe trying to figure out a plan moving forward. So instead of competing local governments putting in their own proposals, maybe trying to do maybe a little bit more of a regional approach, so collaborations between local governments and coming up with those grant proposals that probably would be more of more weight and probably would get approval quicker. Other than that, that's just real quick. I know we're a little pressed for time, so I just wanted to be respectful of that and thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, last we want to have Mark Siegel with Key Code come up. Just a quick comment.
If you're not a member of Wautoua, become a member of Wautoua. They're a great organization, great group of people. The collaboration that the organization has amongst one another is really good, and you get a lot of value out of it. We've been very supportive of Key Code, ABS, been very supportive of Wautoua over the years. We will continue to do so as well.
And just real quick, I want to put in a plug. Next year, 2023, in the spring, we'll have our regional or state conference in the Tri-Cities and probably in Richland at this point. So, put
back
that on your calendar and watch our website, wautoua.org.
Thanks for watching Broadcast to Post. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast to receive future episodes. Follow Key Code Media on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram to receive news on additional AV, broadcast, and post-production technology content. See you next time, folks.